Welcome to the D3 Church podcast. If you would like the video of this podcast, you can find all past video and audio of our services at d3.church/media. If there's any way we can help you connect with Jesus or any questions you have for us, you can fill out a connect card at d3.church/join, and we'd love to connect with you that way. Hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Murdoch, and I'm one of the elders here at D3, and it's my privilege to be able to preach today. And I've put this right in the middle so I can hide behind it. Brad likes to have it over here so he can move his hands all over, and I didn't know what to do with my hands in the first service, so I was awkwardly putting them in my pocket, but if I'm here, I can hold on to this like I'm really saying something. We're continuing in our What Would Jesus Do series, where we look at the Bible to tell us how Jesus would engage in different parts of life that we're involved in. And last week, Pastor Brad explained to us how Jesus and science engage, and he said that Jesus was not afraid of science, but science was afraid of Jesus. And his bottom line was to have faith in the creator, not the creation. So if you missed that, you can catch that on the podcast or go to the website and you can watch the video of that sermon. But today we're going to talk about free time. So think about what you do to entertain yourself and what types of hobbies do you pursue. Do you think God has anything to say about what you do with that time? So let's think about free time. What is it? And it's defined as the time that's left over after you're done working and doing all the other things of life, like raising your kids, doing the laundry, mowing the lawn, sleeping, eating, all those other things. So if there's any time left over, that's your free time, right? If you're a parent, you probably have a lot less of that than you do if you're single, right? I absolutely love free time. It's my favorite thing in the world. Pretty much my whole life, I've ordered it in what do I have to do and how quickly and efficiently can I get it done so I can get to my free time and use it for what I want to use it for. One thing that I really enjoy doing with free time, and sometimes it's not always free time, it's at work if I can get away with it, is I love audiobooks. They're so enjoyable to hear someone perform the pageantry of it, the story coming to life because some human being so gifted by God that they could not just read you a story but perform it. And I can't imagine a guy sitting in a room with a microphone doing all the stuff that happens in an audiobook. It just seems odd. Mitch, you know what I'm talking about. My hobby of listening to audiobooks started like 20 years ago, and I used to work on a farm. For 9 years, I drove a tractor on a farm, and all we had was AM radio. So that meant you could listen to Rush Limbaugh in the morning, Dr. Loris Lessinger in the afternoon. There was 14-karat golden oldies all day long on a different station. And then at night, you got to listen to Art Bell talk about aliens and government conspiracies. And so I did that for years, and I was super bored and tired of it, and my wife found a way to rescue me by going to the library. Yes, there are still libraries where you can check stuff out. This was 20 years ago, but they still exist today. And she got some books on cassette for me. And if you don't know, cassettes are plastic. They're like this big. They have a little tape inside. And so she brought them to me at the farm, and I had this tape player that was like this big, and it had a handle that you could carry it by, an external speaker, and you put gigantic batteries like this big in it to power it, and I would drag it from tractor to listen to audiobooks. So I could listen to like a whole book every day because I worked so much back then that I could just listen to book after book, and it was so much better escape than all the other stuff I'd listened to before. So I got to the last book in the stack that my wife had given me, and it was Harry Potter. And I really didn't want to listen to Harry Potter because I was a man, and I felt like it was I would be less of a man if I enjoyed a child's story about a wizard, right? So I didn't listen to it, and I was driving my tractor, falling asleep. I'm like, well, I guess I'll give it a shot. And that's when I was introduced to Jim Dale, the greatest audiobook performer ever. This guy does a different voice for every character. It's amazing. And truth be told, I've listened to the whole Harry Potter series twice now and read it twice. But audiobooks are just something that I really enjoy. It's something that I can use to redeem some slack time. I can still do other things while I do it. And I don't think I do it in an unhealthy way, but I'm sure I could do it in a way that wouldn't please God. But that's true of any activity that we'd really choose to pursue. So the next question I want to ask you is your free time really free? We often like to think it is. We've done all the things we thought we're supposed to do, right? And everything that's left over is mine. I can do whatever I want with it. And we often push God right out of that free time. We don't consider him at all and what he would have to say about our free time. But if you're a Christian, that means that you have recognized that you're a sinner and that you need saving. You recognize that Jesus lived the perfect life that you couldn't and died the death you deserved, and he rose again to defeat sin and death. And if you've placed your faith in him for salvation, then you also have to accept him as your Lord. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So if he is our Lord, he now has the power and authority to tell us what to do with our free time. And honestly, he's better at it than us. He knows what's best for us. He created us. So he's going to do a better job with that than we could. Now, God doesn't really just care about what we do with our work or how we serve the church or its mission. He cares about all of our time, everything that we do. And we're accountable to him for how we use that time. Does that mean that we don't get to have fun in our free time? Absolutely not. We still get to. It just means that we want to spend our free time in a manner that pleases God and gives glory to him. So the model we've been following in this sermon series is we try to look at God's design for whatever the topic is. What did Jesus do in his own life in regards to that topic? And what would Jesus do now if he was in my shoes? So let's look at God's design. So the Bible tells us that God created us in his image, right? So we are similar to God in that he is a better version of us, right? He's a perfect version, but we have similar traits, I'm assuming, if we're created in his image. But we're created to glorify him and enjoy him forever, like Brad tells us all the time. In Isaiah 43, 21, it says this, "The people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." So God's saying that he made us to declare his praise. And, he doesn't spell out exactly what that looks like. He doesn't say that that's only on Sunday morning, right? It's really meant that our entire life should be meant to give glory to God. Whatever we do, it's like that verse said, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. And that includes our free time. And most people, most of you maybe, don't like this idea. You don't ever factor in whether God is glorified by something you do in your free time or not. It sounds restrictive, like it would sap the fun from most of your free time. But what if I told you that the reason he wants you to consult him and factor him into these decisions is because you're actually leaving enjoyment and pleasure on the table if you don't? It's kind of like when I first met Pastor John. He was the pastor that founded this church. And we went and listened to him. He was a great preacher. He seemed like a fun guy. And Mitch said, "Hey, we should invite John to go golfing or hang out with him." And I said, "My God, why would I want to hang out with a pastor? There would be no fun in that. All we could talk about is the Bible and church. It would be boring." But we did, and it was fun. Like, we could hang out and give glory to God, and it wasn't just a Bible study hangout. It was fun with a friend. But I think we often think of that God would take the fun out of our fun if we let him in, right? But no, let's talk about how God created the world to be pleasurable. He knows what we need, and he created us with pleasure receptors in our bodies so that things would feel good when we did them. He created us with dopamine to be released at certain times to make us feel pleasure and reward for certain activities. A God that wasn't interested in us enjoying life wouldn't have made us the way that he did. We also weren't made just to work. God, actually in the Old Testament, he commanded his people to take a Sabbath, which was a day off from all kinds of work, to rest and recharge. He commanded his people to do this because he knew that they probably would overwork themselves if he didn't make them take a break. He knows our bodies and our minds require regular rest to operate at their best. He also made his people take feasts and festivals. Like, he commanded them to celebrate and enjoy stuff. And that usually lasted for days in some of the festivals. And they were all meant to remember and celebrate the great things God had done for them. So would a God that didn't want you to enjoy life command such things? God also didn't create the world to be boring or plain, right? When you look outside, is it just a white slate and there's nothing going on out there? No, that's crazy. The weather, the stars, the mountains, the oceans, the trees, all the different things. Like, it's just amazing that God made it the way he did. A couple verses that talk about this are Psalms 19:1. It says, "Heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Psalms 96:11 through 12 says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy." So the longer I live, the more that just seeing nature causes me to give glory to God. Like, I can't hardly drive down the highway without just thinking, man, why did God make this so beautiful? Even the desert of Nevada has beauty in it. There's so much color if you look across the landscape. It didn't have to be that way, but God made it beautiful for us to enjoy. Now, this doesn't validate some of your claims that your church is in the mountains. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say that, but they go, "Oh, my church is in the mountains. I don't want to go to church." The church is meant to be a gathering of God's people, right? But this does support the idea that our lives and everything in them are meant to glorify God, even in nature. God created us to find our identity and fulfillment and ultimate joy in him. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." When your number one pursuit is the Lord, you will find the joy that your heart desires. Jonathan Edwards said it like this: "God is glorified not only by his glory being seen, but by it being rejoiced in. When those that see it delight in it, God is more glorified than if we only see it. God made the world that he might communicate and the creature receive his glory, both with the mind and the heart. He that testifies his having an idea of God's glory doesn't glorify God so much as he that testifies also his approbation, i.e. his heartfelt commendation or praise of it and his delight in it." So we're supposed to like see this stuff and be like, wow, thank you, God. This is awesome. Jesus, speaking to his disciples about abiding in him, said this in John 15:11. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So he says that his joy, which is perfect, right? Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. Everything he did was perfect. So his joy would be the perfect one that we'd want. And he said that it can be yours if you abide in him. And that means to be with him, to listen to him, to obey what he says. And that's really the key to true joy. So God created us to glorify him with how we live our lives. It's no accident. He made us with the desires for joy that we have. These desires are meant to be satisfied in him. And we tend to try and fill those desires outside of God. God would tell us that perfect joy and satisfaction is found in him. And when we pursue him for that fulfillment, then everything else we do will be so much more joy-giving. God should really be our highest desire and our first hobby. George Mueller said it this way: "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord." Really, if we started every day just wanting to be happy in the Lord, don't you think the rest of our day would be so much more enjoyable? So God obviously cares about our enjoyment of his creation and the life that he's given us. God's design for our entertainment and hobbies is that we would be enjoying them as good gifts from a loving Father, and that would cause us to love him and glorify him more. So let's try to catch a glimpse of what that looks like from Jesus' own life. When we look at the life of Jesus in the Bible, we try to see how he spent his free time, but it's difficult. I don't remember seeing anything really about hobbies or entertainment of Jesus, and the Bible only really records the really noteworthy things that Jesus did in his life. He lived approximately 33 years on the earth, and we see a few stories like from his birth and childhood, and then most of it's from his adult life and his ministry. But we don't really see much of the ordinary daily life that Jesus had to have lived. We don't know if he liked playing games or hiking or fishing or whatever, but this says this in Hebrews 1:9 as it's speaking about Jesus, and it says, "You are loved. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." So Jesus loved and cared about the things of God, and he hated anything that was contrary to that, and that made him more joyful than any other person, the Bible says. So that's what perfect enjoyment looks like: Jesus delighting himself in God, and he was more joyful than any other person. So what do we do see in the Bible about Jesus in spending time? Is he spent a lot of time with people. He seemed to really love people. He did go away into solitary places to pray and be with his Father. But most of the time that we see, he's with his 12 disciples and other people, hanging out at dinners and parties and things like that. So I can kind of relate to Jesus in this aspect of spending time with people. I would never call myself a people person, but a few years ago, my son was a teenager, and after a long talk about how he excessively played video games and probably shouldn't play so many, he looked at me and said, "I feel sorry for you, Dad, because you don't have any hobbies." And as I held my hands at my side to keep from strangling him, I explained how I was an adult and I had a demanding job to provide a nice lifestyle for himself and the family, that I led a church and community group. And if I had any time left over, I usually want to just go to sleep or listen to an audiobook. So I explained it to him, but it had me think, like, what do I really do as a hobby? Like, I feel like I'd had hobbies in the past and stuff, but I really looked at what I spent my free time on. It was hanging out with people that I enjoyed, right? People that I loved, hanging out on the patio, having a fire or a barbecue or something like that. So I guess I could see that as a hobby, hanging out with people. Jesus spent a lot of his time camping with his disciples. Maybe not by choice, just how things were then, because it's a long walk between towns, right? So they'd have to camp out. And I'm purely speculating on what it might be like, but I know that when I go camping with other guys, we have a lot of fun because we burn stuff, Pretty much everything you could possibly burn. We cook, tell stories, throw rocks, build weapons, make up weird competitions. There's all kinds of fun stuff to have camping. So I would like to think of Jesus doing that. I don't know because it doesn't say that in the Bible, so don't take it to heart. But if I was camping with Jesus, that's what I would be doing. Jesus also had a reputation of being a glutton and a drunkard because he was always at parties. Now, obviously, he wasn't any of those things because that would be sin, and he was sinless, so he didn't do that. His first recorded miracle found in John chapter 2 was actually turning water into wine at a wedding. If Jesus wasn't into having a good time, he definitely wouldn't have done that. He probably would have turned their wine into water to keep them from having any more fun, right? And that brought to mind a great quote from the movie Talladega Nights by Cal Naughton Jr., where he said he liked to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party too. So from Jesus' example, we see that he spent time with people as something he seemed to enjoy. I'm not going to tell you that all your free time should be spent with people, but it is good to be with the Lord. Be alone, be quiet, reflect on all the things he's done to you or for you. But if the majority of your free time doesn't involve people, you might try to add that in. Sharing an activity that you enjoy with another person is a great way to bond. You have an opportunity to share the gospel. You can share what God's doing in your life. You can help disciple them and what godly recreation looks like. If you're always alone, you have none of those opportunities. So if Jesus is the perfect example of how we should live, we don't see much in his life in regards to the topic of entertainment and hobbies, but we do see him hanging out with people. So I just encourage you to maybe consider adding people into what you do for hobbies. So let's look at what Jesus would do now with like our free time. Never before in history has an average person had more free time. The average American has approximately 5 hours of free time every day, according to a 2019 RAND study. Does that seem like a lot to you? I don't feel like I have 5 hours of free time, but I probably waste a lot of time too that I don't even realize. Men seem to have a little more free time than women, and I'm sure that shocks you ladies that are listening. In the past, people's lives were much more difficult than they are today. They lacked all the modern conveniences of robot vacuums and smart everything, Walmart grocery pickup. They had to actually hunt food and kill it and butcher it. They didn't have the disposable income that we have today. They had a lot more children they had to take care of. So their lives were just busy, filled with work. They didn't have a lot of free time. But now, we have so much excess time on our hands that people will actually watch anime because they want to. That seems a little excessive to me. Like I said earlier, the main way we go wrong when it comes to our free time activities is we push God out. We think our free time is our own, which I've shown you it isn't. And we feel like we did all the stuff we're supposed to, and now we're free. We get to do whatever we want with what's left. But really, that's idolatry, right? We're worshiping the creation rather than the creator that Brad told us last week to not do that. We become hedonistic, where our life's highest goal is pleasure, and we must get it at all costs. Our work becomes only a means to get the pleasure that we desire, and we miss out on God's best for us because we trade the truth for a lie. Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to have a full, enjoyable life, and that's found only in him. When Jesus says, we have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's talking about Satan or the devil. And he's a real spiritual being. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of our souls. His mission is to steal your soul, to prevent you from believing the gospel and being saved. But if you're already saved, he can't do that. He can't steal your soul because you belong to God. So then his mission becomes to render you ineffective, to distract you and keep you from spreading the gospel and being close with God. And never before in history have we had so much to distract us. If you look around in any public gathering, maybe in here, I can't see through the lights, but you see people glued to their phones all the time, right? I literally left my phone at the Connect desk so that I wouldn't have it to distract me while I was up here. I'm guilty of it too, right? We all do it. We all get lost in our phones at times because we have any amount or type of information or entertainment at our fingertips, literally. This is a great gift that we could use for lots of good, but we could also use it in countless ways to sin and go astray and distract us. If you want to know more about this, like there's a great movie on Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma, and it kind of gives you an insight into social media and their goals of what they want to do. And they really want 100% of your attention all the time, not just a portion of it when you have free time. They want it all the time. And if you look at some people, they have it all the time. But it's really interesting. It sounds kind of evil when you watch that show, what they're up to. C.S. Lewis, He had a pretty good understanding of what the devil was up to when he wrote the Screwtape Letters in 1941. Now, this is a fictional book, but it's about a senior demon writing to a junior demon, telling him how to be better at causing a Christian to slide away from his faith. So Screwtape is the uncle, and he's writing to his nephew, Wormwood. So listen to this excerpt from the book. And it was written in 1941, but think about all the more distractions that we have today to keep us from a closeness with God. It's kind of long, but it's interesting. As this condition becomes more fully established, you will be gradually freed from the tiresome business of providing pleasures as temptations. As the uneasiness and his reluctance to face it cut him off more and more from all real happiness, and as habit renders the pleasure of vanity and excitement and flippancy at once less pleasant and harder to forego, for that is what habit fortunately does to a pleasure, you will find that anything or nothing is sufficient to attract his wandering attention. You no longer need a good book, which he really likes, to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep. A column of advertisements in yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time not only in conversation he enjoys with people whom he likes, but in conversations with those he cares nothing about on subjects that bore him. Sounds like social media. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods. You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities which we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return, so that at last he may say, as one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, I now see that I spent most of my life doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. The Christians describe the enemy as one without whom nothing is strong, and nothing is very strong, strong enough to steal away a man's best years, not in sweet sins, but in a dreary flickering of the mind over it knows not what and knows not why. In the gratification of curiosities so feeble that the man is only half aware of them, in drumming of fingers and kicking of heels and whistling tunes that he does not like, or in the long dim labyrinth of reveries that have not even lust or ambition to give them a relish, but which once chance association has started them, the creature is too weak and fuddled to shake off. You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember that the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separated the man from the enemy. That's God in this situation. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that the cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is not better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Signed, your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. So Lewis knew that distraction was a major tool of the enemy to render a Christian ineffective and waste his life. And I don't share this to shame you, to tell you to stay off your phone like I'm your dad, but I do want you to be aware of it, because it can happen to all of us, and it does at times. So we need to have healthy boundaries in this area, and we need to be aware. That's really the first step to being healthy in that. Another modern marvel that's a great gift is video streaming services. And by far, the number one American pastime is watching television. But you don't have to wait anymore to watch a TGIF on Friday nights, right? Shows just come on, and the whole series is there to watch at one time. And we have a word for it, right? What's a binge, right? Binge watch. And I never thought about the implications of that word, so I Googled it. And formerly, the word was only reserved for the excessive indulgence of eating, drinking, and taking drugs. And now we use it to talk about how we consume media, right? That's kind of crazy and scary. So we joke about it, but it's probably something we should be aware of and possibly avoiding. I'm not saying that enjoying a great series is bad, but if it causes you to neglect other good things or time with people or God, it could be a problem. My goal here is not to convict you on what you watch or how much time you spend watching it, because that's the Spirit's job, but I can't speak on entertainment without talking about the content of it. You may have noticed that the quality of shows have gone up drastically in the current age. Like, the acting's amazing, musical scores are excellent, the ideas the shows are based on are super creative, but there's tons of sex, nudity, violence, F-bombs. These shows are depicting sinful acts, and they're normalizing them. And I have a hard time seeing how that could be glorifying to God. So this is something every Christian needs to struggle with and pray about. Can I watch these shows and enjoy them for their good parts without letting the other parts cause me to sin? I think it might be possible, but it's got to be very difficult. So if the show causes you to lust or covet or sin in any other manner, you shouldn't watch it. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 18:9 that if your eye causes you to sin, to tear it out and throw it away, and it's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. I saw a hilarious meme the other day that said, congratulations to the Kardashians on 20 seasons of their show, and congratulations to me on never watching one of them. And I laughed, but that's not me, because I loved Keeping Up with the Kardashians. My wife and I used to watch it all the time, but we heard a sermon once that convicted us on, you know, our motives and how the show was it causing us to glorify God? And it wasn't causing us to glorify God. That and Desperate Housewives. So we cut them both out at the same time. Could I maybe watch them now as a more mature Christian adult and enjoy them without, you know, sinning in any way? I would hope so, but I don't know because I haven't tried and I don't think I will. Because I can't imagine 20 years of that dumb family. What's left for them to do? They've done it all. Remember when Rob was going to sell socks? I think that's when I got out. So remember that our time isn't free, and if what we are doing in that time doesn't cause us to glorify God, we need to stop doing it. This could be said about any free time activity such as golf, fishing, hiking, video game playing, kite flying, really anything. If it doesn't cause you to glorify God, you need to either find a way for it to glorify God or to stop doing it. Because the Christian life is one of moderation and balance, and we don't overindulge in any substance or activity. Our lives belong to Jesus, and we aim to please him. When we find our true joy and satisfaction in Jesus, all our free time activities are all the more enjoyable because they are good gifts from a loving Father. So if you haven't guessed yet what the bottom line for today is, it's the main verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God, including your free time. Christian, your free time isn't your own. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We are only free from the power of sin and saved from an eternity in hell because of what Jesus did for us. That means we owe him whatever free time we have left, right? Whatever time we have is all his, and we want to use it to glorify him. Non-believer, this may sound like a huge sacrifice, but it's absolutely worth it. Repent of your sin and trust Jesus today. He will save you and he'll show you that his way is better. If you want to talk further about it, come find me after the service. I'd be happy to show you what that looks like. But wherever you are at, it isn't too late to give your free time to Jesus. We've all done it imperfectly and we'll still continue to struggle in it, but pray and ask God to guide you in how you spend your time. The Holy Spirit is happy to lovingly convict where you are wrong and to guide you to a more enjoyable life where Jesus is most glorified. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you loved us, that you would make a world that's enjoyable, that you would make us able to enjoy things, to see things that we would do and spend time with people, Lord, and that there's just a vast amount of things that we can find to entertain ourselves, Lord, and we pray that we would do that for your glory. And if we're doing things that are not to your glory, Lord, we pray that we would stop doing those things and that we would give them to you and find things that do glorify you, Lord. And we pray for this all in Jesus' name. Amen.